You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members and listeners of 3CR Radical Radio. This is the MUA Fire Up program. My name's David Ball and welcome to the program. And also I'd like to welcome Dean and Aaron. How are you guys?
Oh, fantastic, comrade. How are you?
Yeah, very good.
Good, thanks, David. How are you?
Yes, very good.
You feeling all right this morning, mate?
Why? Why should I not?
Well, you haven't made any shitty jokes. I'm sure they're coming, but they weren't straight off like normally do.
We could go into the Bulldogs beating Collingwood over the weekend, but we'll leave that alone.
Not a Collingwood fan, so it doesn't bother me. Go nuts.
We're not sure if our esteemed leader, Robbie Casper Lumpson, is going to join us. He's in Western Australia on the Cube campaign.
There are those jokes. Calling him esteemed. No, it's good. While he's not here, should we spend the next 15 bagging him?
We probably should. Why do you think he's called Casper? Some people think it's because he disappears all the time, but I've also heard that he's got fair skin.
Anyway, there you go.
We're going to talk a little bit about the CFMEU construction conference that has been in Victoria over the last week, and obviously a pretty powerful conference with, I believe, they've got 650 shop stewards.
Yeah, it's a pretty big conference of their delegates a pretty high-energy conference as well.
Plenty of black T-shirts.
Yeah, plenty of black T-shirts. We do love a black T-shirt in the union movement. And
helps cover the weight.
Hello. Hang on a second.
That's why. Well, I
wear nothing but white. it was good. It was a good couple of days. Good to hear from some long-term leaders like John and the union officials, John Secker and the union
Tony
officials.
Mav.
From the other BIG unions, which was great, the building industry group, and also Christy Kane. And there was a lot of accolades thrown towards Christy as he moves towards his retirement. Only a month to go.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's going to be a big change in the union movement because Christy's been a powerhouse for many years, building the Western Australia branch up to massive strength and stealing all our members. Did I say that out loud? No, it was a great conference and everyone was well behaved apart from that incident. Oh, we're not going to talk about the incident.
It was an incident. It was all perfect behaviour, as I know. Also, there couldn't have been an incident. We're recording this early.
Not yet.
So, yeah, construction in Victoria has never been in a stronger position with massive civil works taking place, which has helped increase their membership. And, of course, the leadership of that union with John Sedgar, Robbie Grumman, Decker and a few others has helped, obviously.
Yeah, it's good. And they've got a team of organisers who are out doing great work in a robust industry as well. And it's great to see because it's not just – and it's great to see that it's not just the industrial space that they're operating in about growing membership and growing union, but there was a lot of discussion over the course of the conference that around encouraging women into the building industry and what we can do there, highlighting mental health. And there was a really really powerful session from a young organizer who'd experienced some mental health issues himself, and he spoke quite bravely and openly about that. And so it's about not just the industrial side and our strength and our ability to beat our chest and yell the loudest and be the best in the world, but also about some of the, I guess, softer sides of our industries. And it's both construction and maritime are male-dominated industries, and both divisions of this union put in a lot of effort to try and to bring to the fore some of those underlying issues around mental health and all that sort of stuff as well. So
yeah,
it's great to see, and it's great to hear from everybody over at conference.
And we have a little event to promote. It's about women working in male-dominated industries, particularly in trade positions. Victorian Trades Hall are helping to organise this. It's down in Portland on the 29th of June. It's at the Southwest TAFE, and it's an introduction to metal trades and green energy jobs in Portland for women. And we'd just like to encourage any women interested in moving towards a trade should try to attend that. Contact Victorian Trades Hall if you want more details. It should be a great event, and the word is from the organiser that women who participate in these type of events often find themselves working in trade. So 29th of June at the Southwest TAFE. We'd also like to just talk a little bit about our relationship with construction and the CFMEU, because we're part of the CFMEU.
We are, yeah. So took a very big decision about 5 or 6 years ago now to, and our membership endorsed quite emphatically endorsed the amalgamation to become the maritime division of the CFMEU. That's how Christy Kane ended up being the national secretary of the CFMEU. And yeah, it's been like all marriages. There's been some hurdles and hiccups along the way, but we're obviously and a much stronger union for it. And it's a pretty simple equation, isn't it? And it's something that we know and our members would know and live and breathe every day, that the more you have that are in your union, the stronger you are. And if that means joining forces with comrades who have historically came out to support us, like the construction division, there's some that really great footage of the 98 Patrick's dispute where the construction union marches in behind the coppers and they end up pulling the pin and shitting themselves and going home.
Yeah,
it was, East Swanton Dock there.
Yeah,
that was a big day.
Another big day. And the dramatisation of it in Bastard Boys is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, right.
Love it. And then you just, yeah, so they've been there to support us for over for decades now. You want to turn your phone off, Paulie?
Sorry, right.
Will be. For decades now, and now we've formalised that union, and we did that 5 years ago, and
it has evolved a bit.
Has evolved a bit, yeah.
The miners have left since we joined.
Yep, the miners have left, which is was an interesting choice on their behalf. But I guess if the strategic objectives of the unions that don't align, then I guess it's better to go your separate ways rather than perpetual infighting. So yeah, that was a right. good decision for their half. But we're looking to expand, and our ability to grow as a union. We saw that at the national conference of our division in Adelaide when we resolved to formalise an arrangement with MUNS, a Maritime Union of New Zealand. So to bring them into the fold and have them as part of our great division moving forward. So
we should mention Zach Smith, who is the National Secretary of Construction and the Secretary of the ACT Division of Construction. Zach's an amazing young fella and very progressive and a massive supporter of the Maritime Union and the relationship that we can have with the CFMEU. So it's great to have such an, I guess, important person, a powerful person with the attitude that he's got, because it's really, really supportive and constructive.
Yeah, it is. It's great work. And, yeah, he's a great leader, and the leadership he's shown throughout these housing crises has helped shape the public debate and public policy and hopefully and done from a very working-class perspective of trying to help out working men and women. So
So we look forward to working with the construction division here in Victoria going forward, and they've always supported our rallies and protests, and we'll always support them. So that's a relationship that's blooming, and we look forward to going from strength to strength. We're now going to move to our first song, which is Message in a Bottle by The Police. Listeners to 3CR Radical Radio?
No, I'm surprised with the song choice, David.
Well, it's about building solidarity, comrade.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. You know, he sends one bottle away and then thousands of bottles arrive on his beach, and It's like the collective and solidarity, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, yeah, you've drawn a long bow there, but...
well, I'm not the only one who
just sounds, it just sounds like we've got an issue with rubbish in our beaches, and that's...
No. It is definitely about solidarity.
Yeah, no.
We're going to go on to a few industrial reports, and we're all down at Patrick's during the week, Dean, with you.
Yeah, mate. We've had an ongoing issue at Patrick's in particular... around the company forcing our members to take their long service leave.
Why are they doing that?
That's off the back of they're losing the MSC contract, which is quite a substantial contract for Patrick's East Swanson Dock. We were the only port across the country to be affected by the loss, which is what it is. But the committee's been working really hard in trying to get an agreement, an amicable agreement, that that the membership can at least have a say in when that leave was to be taken.
Because the company just wrote to the members and said, you're taking 13 weeks long service leave over the next 3 months.
They did, mate. They did.
It's the biggest example of somebody wanting to have their cake and eat it too. When there's a little uptick in the industry and product and the boxes are coming through, they're saying, no, you can't have leave. They won't give anyone leave.
Exactly.
And then the minute they've got a little downturn, they're like, quick, get it off the book now.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's quite one-sided, isn't it, when they want to do it like that.
And that was causing a lot of angst within the workplace, as you could imagine, for that exact reason, mate. You know, the place has been flying for years. Box rates have been up. And management haven't wanted people to use their leave. So, and you're right, having two bites of the cherry, that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Cargo volumes are down. They'll start cleaning their books of leave. And unfortunately, they use their ability under the enterprise agreement to do it. So the committee's been working really hard. They finally got an agreement, which was put to the membership during the week, and it was unanimously endorsed. For those that probably don't understand the roster system too well, they agreed to take 1 week per panel long service leave in a roster cycle. So each member over a three cycle period of their roster would take
shares the load a bit.
3 weeks of long service leave.
So it means that people aren't getting forced to do it.
Exactly right.
Done it our own choice.
And it's fair and equitable for the membership rather than the company being able to pinpoint it. And dictate who takes their leave and when they want to take it.
Instead of 30 to 50% of members being forced to take all their long service leave, everybody who has got entitlement
in excess of a certain number will take one week.
Exactly right.
That's awesome. So that's what solidarity is about.
It sure is, mate. It sure is. And the committee's done a heap of work around that, and they should be proud of themselves. It was a win. It was a really good win.
Yeah, it was.
And again, it builds that solidarity. And
maybe they could all throw their leave requests in a bottle and throw them in the ocean and see what we get back.
You never know.
One out of down on Torquay Front Beach, mate. But there's some of the challenges that we face in the industry, as you know, mate. It's we have our peaks and troughs, and the boys down at East Swanson are going through a bit of a trough at the moment. But good outcome overall.
That's a great example of collective. Unionism, isn't it?
It is. So it's a good outcome for everybody, I think. Bit happening at the other terminals as well. So VLCT and DP World both had their ERC meetings this week. Ticked up a couple of extra FSE jobs for DP World. Plus, we're looking at doing some training and stuff as well, which is good because their volumes are also low. And at VLCT, we're looking at... mapping out what our campaign for a new EA looks like. So that's all kicking off this week and this month as well. Theirs is set to expire early next year, so we want to be ahead of the game and make sure that we've got our claims in so we can start negotiating 6 months out and be ready for the expiry of the agreement. So the terminals, a bit's happening, but there's also a lot happening in the bulk in general, David.
Well, there is. Obviously, we've got the Cube campaign going on, which we mentioned briefly. Robbie's over in Western Australia. Part of that trip to Western Australia included a conference at Fair Work Australia where the MUA put in a Section 240 with Fair Work Australia, which is
bargaining orders,
because we don't believe Cuba bargaining in good faith. But the outcome was typical of the commission, just to sort of kick the can down the road. That's what they do really well, eh?
Yeah, I guess so.
So they've basically said, finish off your first round of meetings, come back and we'll discuss how the negotiations are progressing. So Casper's doing that in Western Australia. I think he's going to Bunbury.
And they've got Fremantle.
And where are they up north? They're one, in one place up north.
Mm-mm.
They are. Just south of Karratha. Aren't they south of Karratha?
I thought Hedland and Karratha were done.
Oh, right. Well, there is a cube operation in Port Hedland.
Yeah.
So he's busy doing that. We'll be doing some more meetings in Victoria coming up over the next couple of weeks, and that campaign continues. And with links, I did go to Port Kembla recently with the JEG, which is basically a dispute resolution committee that is presided over by a deputy president of the commission, where we work through all the disputes in the country. We managed to have a few wins up there. There was a couple of outcomes that we weren't very happy about. One of them is the order of pick. In our industry, the order of pick is extremely important. It's where a permanent gets picked up before a part-time permanent who gets picked up before a casual. And, you know, that order of pick's really important with regards to promotions going forward. And also, you know, if you've got a permanent job, you should have the hours that you need to earn a reasonable living. And this links, unfortunately, only follow the order of pick as it's written exactly in the EA. So there's a couple of examples where the order of pick is not described completely in the EA, and one of those is when you actually pick up the gang to work, say the foreman or the team leader goes sick, our view is that then a permanent or a part-time permanent should go into that position, whoever's available on the shift with those skills, but links tend to put casuals into that position, and that upsets everybody, so... it's something that now has become probably a pretty big claim on our next EA with links, which that does expire December 31st this year. So we've advised management that that will now be our number one claim if they're not going to agree to it now, because, as I said, the order of pick is everything. So also with links, we're down in Geelong. The links Geelong workforce lost one of their biggest contracts recently, which was the cement clinker contract. It represented 30% of their work. It's a massive loss for them. It did go to Australian National Stevedores, which at least it's going to MUA members. We have been in some discussions with ANS about taking over some of the Lynx guys if they get unemployed. But right now, Lynx are busy enough to keep everybody. But after the financial year, when that contract does leave, we may be in a bit of trouble. And actually, I've got a meeting down there in Geelong Wednesday next week to discuss what that outcome might be. Marat was another big thing that happened recently.
Yeah, Aaron. So Marat is the Melbourne International Roll-On, Roll-Off Automotive Terminal.
Good one, mate. You got that out all right.
Got that out all right. Yeah, almost stumbled at the end. But they were owned by Wilhelmsen, which is the
big shipping company.
A global shipping company. And they operate down at Webdock, and they all of our members down there kind of once the cargo comes off the vessels, they coordinate it and put it on the trucks and get it out to where it needs to go. So particularly people's cars, but also other sorts of farming plant and things like that as well. And so recently, Wilhelmsen has sold that to AAT. AAT is another automotive terminal.
Who owns AT?
They already do similar work to that, but they are a wholly owned subsidiary of Cube. So there we go. Cube Ports expanding its little tentacles. I don't know if it's Cube Ports that owns them, but Cube certainly, as a business, owns AAT. Thankfully, we've got commitment from the general manager down there that there'll be no changes for our guys. We'll work under the same EA and we'll continue with our industrial practices as they are now, and they don't see any immediate change on the horizon, which is great. So like I've said to our guys down there, and I've said to many of our members across the various ports is that over the lifetime of our careers on the waterfront, the names on our shirts will change, and the taglines at the companies will change, and the name of the employer on the payslip will change, and
the boss might change.
The boss will change, and
the boss has changed.
The only thing that's consistent down there on the waterfront is the Maritime Union. So us and our members will be there. We've been there for 150 years, and we'll be there for the next 150 years and on.
Absolutely. I just want to make a few comments about Svitzer. We're in major discussions with them here in Victoria regarding their port operation procedures. Shipping has changed a lot in Melbourne over the last 12 months, where the harbour master has given new directions to the towage industry after a ship, I think they lost their rudder in the Yarra and nearly crashed. And as a result, there is a larger requirement for tugs to assist ships to get right out into the channel and past all the river. And that's increased our workload on our members quite a lot. So we're discussing how the port operation procedures need to change. Svitzer have agreed to employ 4 additional full-time crews, which is the only thing we've agreed on at the moment. We've got a few outstanding issues there, but I'm sure we'll work through them. Well, I'm actually not sure we'll work through them. We'll probably end up in the commission.
But we'll keep fighting with them, and we'll make sure that we get a reasonable and the best outcome for our members.
Yeah, and that's all. That Western Port, we have members down there, and Svitzer run the tugs in Western Port. It's also an issue for those guys down there because there's new ships coming in doing ship-to-ship transfers with LNG, so that's increased towage requirements in Western Port as well. So a lot happening in towage. There always is.
Always is, so.
I think that nearly brings us towards the end of our show, which I hope you've enjoyed. Our final song is
Change by Tracy Chapman. Enjoy.
Also another song about solidarity.
Thanks, members. Thanks, listeners.
Thanks, comrades. See you.
Thanks, comrades.
If you knew that you would die today, you saw the face of God and love, would you change? Would you change? If you knew that love can't break your heart, when you're down so low you cannot fall, would you change? Would you change? How bad, how good does it need to get? How many losses, how much regret? What chain reaction would cause an effect? Makes you turn around, makes you try to explain, makes you forgive and forget, makes you change. if you'd broken every rule and vow. When hard times come to bring you down, would you change? Would you change? If you knew that you would die today.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.